Hello and welcome to our fourth mini episode of the Book Wars Pod.
What is that about?
Yeah, right. Not on any of the books this time. We are continuing our kind of debrief of The Last Jedi. We talked last week about how we felt about the movie, what our reactions were. This week we want to delve a little bit deeper into kind of what it means for the universe, what it means for the book canon, and what we want to see going forward. But as always, mini episode or not, what are we drinking?
Kristen?
As I said, I don't know when this is going to release versus what I just said, but I'm trying to clean out our fridge of beer. So,
for people's information, we were recording this immediately after we recorded our first Lost Stars episode.
Yeah. So that should be, I think this will come out right after that. I think we're good. I think that works right out. I'm drinking Ex Novo Not Too Bright New England Style IPA, which is super bitter and strong. And then I mostly finished that last episode. And next up I have a Nelson the Greeter, which is another IPA, but it's much more of a West Coast style IPA. It's laid back and hop forward is basically what it says. I think it's from California. I can only assume it has a surfboard right on it.
Probs.
Oh, okay. Black Speech, blah, blah, blah. That's in San Diego, blah, blah, blah. I'm not reading all of this. I assume it's in California.
Cool beans.
I only read things when they're from Oregon because I don't know. I sometimes read things when they're from California. I've had like 100 beers tonight. Don't look at me.
It's fine.
Nice. We are drinking the Salentino. Epicuro is the vineyard. Salentino, which is an Italian red from Trader Joe's. Great value.
Excellent.
All right, so shall we dive right into Last Jedi analysis things?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So first, do we want to talk about like just some broad connections we see between the movie and stuff we've read in the pod so far and stuff we've discussed? So the first thing I have down is, just a little question. what does it mean for the Force to be in balance according to The Last Jedi? Because we only debate this all the time. So let's do it.
Well, I'm going to bring up a sub point first that, like, when we were reading, and you could listen from our, if you've listened to our From a Certain Point of View episodes, we were dying to not discuss The Last Jedi when when we read, like, There Is Another.
Yes.
We were fucking dying.
Oh my God.
So, Kate, do you want to kind of expand on, like, why that was the case?
Right. So we, in There Is Another, we have Yoda hanging out in a swamp on Dagobah, and part of what he's doing there, besides being a very sad man, is... Man, whatever his... I don't actually think we know what his species is called.
We've never known what Yoda's species is named.
Cool. All right. Well, he's sitting there being a very bad... feeling very sad, being very bad, Freudian slip, thinking about all the ways that the Jedi failed, and one of the things he's considering is how they interpreted the prophecy so fucking wrong about how the Chosen One will bring the Force into balance. And for the longest time on this pod, and honestly, based on textual evidence that we have from the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels cartoons, is that for the Force to be in balance, Force users need to move toward the middle. They need to be gray. And that's kind of just the theory we've gleaned from the outside of film material, and we've kind of just run with it through the pod up until this point. Because as we see in The Last Jedi, the dichotomy between light and dark is very much reinforced through Rey and Kylo Ren. You know, as Snoke says, dark rises and light to meet it. And it seems like what the movie's trying to tell us is that the force is in balance when the light side is ascendant, when the light side is winning. Anytime there is a dark side user existing anywhere and doing bad things, the force is out of balance. Right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yes, I would agree with that. I think that the balance, just to go a little bit into what the balance is as opposed to when it exists, I think the balance is, as Luke tells us when he's training Rey during their first lesson, kind of the glue that holds everything together. And what the light side does is strengthen that glue by working toward the common good of the galaxy.
It's working toward harmony.
Yes, working toward harmony. That's an excellent way to put it. Working toward harmony, whereas the dark side is, as we know from the prequels, very internal looking, very selfish, looking to use the force and use the galaxy for their gain, as opposed to contribute to harmony in the galaxy. And that's why, in the view of The Last Jedi, it only takes a very, it's not a numerical balance issue, just as you said.
Right. Well, and I think that's why it's so confusing about who the Chosen One is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's kind of like one of the more interesting subtexts of The Last Jedi, just kind of like, for lack of better verbiage, is like, is it Anakin? Is it Luke? Is it Rey? Is it someone else? Is it no one? And I think that's a really like fun and interesting question that we all get to ask ourselves. It's like, we know that Obi thinks it's Luke, right? And we talked about that in our From a Certain Point of View discussion of There Is Another, and whether or not we think that's true, not necessarily us, but like whether or not we think that is true in like the Star Wars perspective. But I think that's why this is so interesting, and why I think that was such, I still don't kind of have an opinion. I'm still kind of sitting and waiting, which I think means they did a really, really good job with The Last Jedi. I'm less hung up on that than I ever have been. I think that's a good thing for the franchise and just like as a Star Wars fan.
Keeks, I think that's a really great point that you're making, and I want to use it to go off outline a little bit and kind of go, I know, right?
Who am I? I love going off outline. Go ahead, and, Chris.
And for the moment, step away from this question of what does it mean for the Force to be balanced? Because you're right. It is still a really interesting question about who is the Chosen One. And I think my personal opinion is that I'm more convinced than ever that it's Anakin, personally, because same. I think that he balanced the Force by eliminating the Jedi who had lost their way. Like, the Jedi Order as a whole had lost its way.
And then he wiped out the Sith anyway.
And then he ended up wiping out the Sith anyway, leaving it in balance.
Yeah. Leaving Luke.
Leaving Luke, who was working toward harmony.
Okay, can I put, like, 15 seconds of...
Yes, and then I will finish that. My point.
Okay, yeah. My only thought with that is, like, I love that as an answer, and that's also my answer. And part of the reason I love that as an answer is, like, that feels so squeaky to us because Anakin killed a bunch of younglings. And guess what? That's fucking part of it.
Yeah.
And that is why it feels so squeaky. And like, that is also what makes it so interesting. And I still think it's Anakin. So
yeah,
I'm sure that was like built into your point, but I wanted to make a thing.
No, absolutely. Well, and the second part of my point is, so as I said in the first part, I'm more convinced than ever that Anakin is the Chosen One. I'm also more convinced than ever that it doesn't fucking matter. Because what we see, like,
at the end... All right, don't tell Obi-Wan, okay?
Well, no, I want to talk about this. Because one thing that we see from Yoda and Obi-Wan in the movies, in From a Certain Point of View, pretty much every view that we have of them, is that they dedicate their lives to protecting the Skywalkers after the fall of Order 66.
Also... since they knew the Skywalkers also, were people, honestly.
Yes, like since the discovery of Anakin Skywalker, they have dedicated their lives to trying to protect the Chosen One, whoever they thought it was at that time.
Can I ask a like quick, oh my god, I'm just asking all the quick side questions
yes.
today. even since Order 66, do we think protecting the Skywalkers has totally been the point?
I do. I absolutely do.
Yes, only because they're basically treated as quote-unquote Force royalty because the Force is so strong in their bloodline. And also, there's just so much...
That's, like, the point.
Right. And also, there's just, like, you know, Anakin was the originator of this family because creepy Force Jesus. But also, you know, they know from who Anakin became that there's so much potential for powerful light and powerful dark in that family that they have to keep tabs on them, I guess.
But that's the thing. Did they? Because they, it's very Harry Potter-esque. I know Kate hates it when I mix my fandoms, but, you know, in Harry Potter, obviously Harry is the chosen one because Voldemort made him the chosen one.
Mm.
Like, because Voldemort killed his parents and instilled this sense of revenge in Harry such that one of them would have to kill the other. I feel like they made, like, Obi-Wan, it's very clear, thinks Luke is the chosen one, whether that's the case or not. But Obi-Wan makes Luke the chosen one because he doesn't go after anyone else. Like, the role of the Jedi in promoting harmony in the galaxy, theoretically, one could argue, should be going around and training new Jedi. And Yoda and Obi-Wan chose not to do that and chose to protect Luke and protect themselves and bide their time, which I'm not saying it's a wrong choice or a right choice, but that is a choice that they made. They chose not to go after the Ezra Bridgers or the, oh God, Kate, what is her name? The
Hidala Fardy.
Hidala, thank you. Hidala Fardy's from Ahsoka.
Or even Leia.
Or even Leia, or even to train Leia. They made their choice that Luke was the chosen one. And I think it's fair to say that The Last Jedi is, going back to this point of it doesn't matter who the chosen one is, The Last Jedi tells us that the Force doesn't care. Like, the Force doesn't care about the Skywalkers. Like, the Skywalkers were chosen by circumstance. And what are, again, this is, we don't know what happened with Anakin's, why Anakin was born without a father. I think that's just kind of a George Lucas special that we're never going to get answers to.
Because
hashtag Force Jesus.
Well, exactly. But the Force doesn't particularly care. Rey is not a Skywalker.
Out of wedlock.
Exactly. Rey is not a Skywalker. I know there's debates going around on the internet.
She's not a Skywalker.
She's not a fucking Skywalker. I firmly believe that she is in no way a Skywalker or anyone who we know.
We can talk about it. We can talk about it, right? Because it's our TL, like, The Last Jedi analysis. She's not a fucking Skywalker. Did they not address that? I mean, they did, right?
Well, people are just like
throwaway people.
Well, people are just like, oh, Kylo's lying. And I'm like, oh my God.
It's some people who are like, Kylo's lying, and some people who are like, whatever, JJ is going to fix everything that Ryan got wrong, who are really bitter about the movie.
Oh my God, fap.
That's so stupid.
I've actually seen a lot of people on the internet being like, JJ can do whatever he wants. He can say Snoke isn't dead. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I want Snoke to be dead. I want to know more about Snoke, but I still want him to be super fucking dead.
Yeah, no. Kathy Kennedy is going to put the fucking ban hammer on that.
Yeah. No, and so anyway, just to wrap up this point and get back to the Force being balanced.
Thank you.
I don't think, like...
Me and Kate, fuck!
Right? Like, I don't think... The Skywalkers don't matter. The Rey matters, and...
And people like her.
And people like Rey matter, and Broom Boy matters.
Yeah.
And whoever the undiscovered Jedi are in the galaxy, who are toiling wherever, and who we're probably going to learn a lot more about in Episode 9. Because... Please. The Force...
You're toiling wherever and everywhere, which is fucking awesome, because that's how the universe works.
Yep. And the Force doesn't care about the Skywalkers. The Force cares about balance.
Fuck yeah. And getting back to balance in general... All right, here's where Kristen screams at us for talking off pod.
Try not to. Keep going.
Uh-huh. So Kristen and I were talking a little bit about this, but what we're seeing right now is that we have two... kind of different models of what it means for the Force to be in balance. So like I was saying, a lot of the older media that is still canon says that for the Force to be in balance, it needs to be in the middle. It needs to be following the Bendu. But what The Last Jedi is telling us, like I said, like we were saying, is that for the Force to be in balance, the light side needs to be strong. And even better, it needs to be the only force that is actively being used by force-sensitive beings. So what I'm interested in is how the second half of the final season of Rebels, which we still don't have a fucking trailer for, is...
Watch, by the time this comes out, we will.
Probably.
No, we probably won't. I want to die.
Sorry. Okay. Okay, listen, I just keep thinking about Kanan dying and I want to die. Anyway, but it's going to be interesting for me how the second half of the final season is either going to bridge those two concepts or swerve toward Rian Johnson's vision of the Force or stay the path of the Force being balanced means that Force users should be gray. And of course, all eyes are on Kanan and Ezra, who seem to be, or at least in our interpretation before we got this totally new idea of the Force from The Last Jedi, is they've basically being exemplifying the Force being in the middle.
I'm hoping it's neither, actually.
That'd be cool.
I'm hoping it's some, like, weird, fucked up, off balance. Like, I hope it's fucking neither. I hope somebody puts something somewhere that's like, oh no! And that's the end of the series.
That was very descriptive. Thank you for you just made.
Hey, did I not say everything I needed to say, or what?
I mean, accurate.
That's a Star Wars.
My thing, though, is that I take your point and everything, but my thought is that because Kathy Kennedy just handed Rian Johnson a whole new series of movies that are about God knows what, and does this have anything to do with the show, the live action show, Chris? Do we know?
If it is, we haven't heard anything.
Okay, sure.
To that effect.
Okay, sure, but he's getting all these future movies. Is that, I think that just by nature of what the studio is doing, is that Rian Johnson's theory is going to be prevalent. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of the light side needs to be more powerful than the dark all the time.
Yeah, it's definitely a return to the original trilogy versus the prequels, right? Because, like, the original trilogy is much more the light is good, and the prequels kind of introduce this moral relativism aspect to it of these points of view, if you will, of like what is balance. Like, is balance, we talk about balance, is it numerical balance, which is kind of very much a George Lucas prequel Clone Wars era special, that's the era that Filoni came up in at Lucasfilm, so that makes sense why we're seeing that with the Bendu, and we don't really know what's going on with the Loth Wolves yet, but with what we're seeing on Rebels. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they reconcile it. It'll be interesting to see if they try.
Sure. So every one of probably every fanboy's favorite debates about who is the greatest Jedi of all time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have problems with the Luke storyline, whatever. But definitely one of the coolest things we see, and this is a film first, not a franchise first, but a film first, is force projecting oneself. You know, Luke does that at the end in the battle on Crait, where he just totally just strings Kylo Ren along into thinking that he's actually there. But no, he is still on Acto, however many planets away, just projecting his image over on Crait. So a lot of people were, you know, kind of upset about seeing this old grumpy man, decrepit Luke, who just hangs out with, I don't know, weird creatures that poop out green milk all the time. And they were like, what happened to Luke from Return of the Jedi? He was so fucking cool. This is really fucking cool. Like, I don't know.
He got fucking old. Welcome to I hate myself. I'm living on an island.
Cool.
I'm interested to talk about this because, Kate, when you made the outline this week, you wrote, Luke Skywalker, the greatest Jedi of all time.
Well, that was before. I think
There's a question mark in parentheses.
Well, I was going to say is I just added that question mark.
Because.
Oh, did you?
Because Skytalkers was actually the ones who mentioned this first. But we, like I said, it is a film first and not a franchise first because we have seen a Force user, a Jedi, use Force projection before, and we've seen it in Rebels, and that's Yoda when he appears to Kanan and Ezra and Soka in the Jedi Temple on Lothal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I don't know, my view, and I feel like I'm just playing into stereotypes of myself at this point because I feel like I'm our token Luke basher, which I love Luke, and I loved his arc in this movie, but I don't think he's the greatest Jedi of all. Like, he says himself that he was no match for the darkness growing in Ben. He abandoned the Jedi Order, which I don't think is disqualifying, but I do think it needs to be taken into account.
I mean, it's understandable why he did it, but it's very understandable.
As I say, I don't think it's disqualifying, but
he did it.
Yeah, he did it. It's just a fact. And I think the fact that it is a film first that he did the Force projection onto Krayt, I think it's hard to compare that. Obviously, it was incredibly difficult and more difficult than anything we've seen happen on film. But if you look at Rey, for example, Rey's been using the Force openly for about 3 weeks, and she just opened an entire mountainside with her brain. It took Luke 4 years to be able to lift a rock.
Let alone, I mean, like, the fucking ship. He couldn't even lift his X-Wing.
Yeah. So, I'm not ready to make that declaration that Luke is the greatest Jedi of all time. I'm happy to say he's one of the most consequential, certainly. I think when all is said and done, his arc is going to be, you know, whether he was the chosen one for the galaxy, I think he is the Jedi who got them back on their way. But, you know, is Luke more powerful than a Yoda who, even when the Force was surrounded by the dark side, projected himself to the temple on Lothal?
And didn't die? No offense.
I mean, and that's the other point. Like, Luke obviously sacrificed himself with peace and purpose, and it was completely intentional, and he knew what he was doing. But he died. The effort killed him.
I have a dumb question. So, I know from the Legends universe that Luke was eventually considered a Grand Master of the Jedi. He basically would have been the head of the Jedi High Council if it still existed. I don't know if it exists in the Legends universe. I don't read the Legends books. Somebody can holler at me about that. Do you know, Chris, I mean, he was considered not just a knight, but a master. Do you know if he was considered the Grand Master? I mean, I guess he would have to be because Luke.
Well, within the canon?
Yeah.
His new Jedi Order?
Yeah.
I don't think we know.
I don't think we have any... Wait, I just answered my own question because the Grand Master is always the oldest of the Jedi and he was the only one. Never mind. Okay. Shut up. I'm going
to
shut up.
Yeah, anyway, I don't think... I'm happy to go with that. I just don't think we know anything about the hierarchical situation of his new Jedi Order.
Yeah, legit. Anyway, sorry. I just... Side note.
No, that's fair. So yeah, I don't know. You know, Luke's incredible, but I don't think it's a stretch to say that he's not the most powerful Jedi of all. Had he not been broken by the events of Return of the Jedi, fairly broken, like I'm not faulting him, but it's pretty clear that he was never the same, like, just mentally. Ooh, I'm getting a look from Kate. Ooh, can we talk about that?
No, I just don't know what you mean.
Ooh, okay. So, God, we're so many tangents this podcast. Jesus.
I don't care.
So one thing that I've really been thinking of why people are complaining about Luke's arc, is I think what we are seeing is a natural extension, not just of his failure with Ben, but of everything leading up to his failure with Ben. Because the last time we saw Luke, he had just, in a fit of rage, chopped his father's arms off, almost killed him, reconciled with his father, and then watched his father die in his arms. And that's a lot of emotional whiplash in a very short amount of time. And I think what we're seeing in Last Jedi is that it broke him. Like, I think it broke his spirit.
Oh, this is interesting. Keep going.
because
can I make a hot terrible point when Chris is done?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to make it now or should I finish?
Go for it.
Finish.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, I do. I think it broke his spirit because, and, you know, we'll see. Maybe they're going to come out with more books about Luke in the interim between Return of the Jedi and this, and we'll see him at the height of his powers, and I'll be completely wrong. But honestly, I think it introduced doubt in himself. I think it introduced feelings of loss that he was never able to get rid of, and feelings of guilt that we see when he's talking about how the Jedi created Vader and Sidious. Or allow them to flourish, rather. And that's what we see on Crait. When it leads to his weakness in not being able to protect Ben from the dark side. And eventually his weakness, his moment of weakness where he ignites his lightsaber and considers killing Ben.
Maybe I'm just a bad Star Wars fan, but I hadn't thought about that in the slightest. And now I need to just like let it marinate in my brain hole. What was your point, Keeks?
My point, and this is like a hot, terrible take that everybody's probably going to be angry at me for saying, so that's why we have a podcast. You know, the point on this outline is Luke Skywalker, the greatest Jedi of all time, Chris adds the question mark, right? I challenge us to think about Luke, especially in the shadow of The Last Jedi, and his return to the Force in The Last Jedi, in the context of Kanan.
Ooh.
And why I don't think that he is necessarily anything special despite being a Skywalker.
No,
I think that Kanan has all these same squeaky feelings, right? It's like Kanan got similarly totally fucked up. Right? He, like, he wasn't given the entirely he wasn't entirely given the right timeline and time within, the Jedi upbringing, and he was kind of pushed out into battle, and he was probably too young of a Padawan to be given a master, and why is Kanan so different than Luke, and why does that make Luke so special?
I love that point.
Go.
Oh, no. I mean, I was just going to say, anytime I want
to
talk about it.
Was Chris about to tell us why Luke is so special? Because I would love for Chris to tell us why.
No, I was going to say, I want to learn more about post-Return of the Jedi Luke, but I'm...
Yeah.
From a perspective of Force powers, I am totally on board with that theory. I think that Luke is what enabled Luke to succeed in the original trilogy was his compassion and his blood relationship to his father allowed him to turn Vader back, but it was his compassion. And while compassion is very much of the Force and of the light, it is not what we would consider a Force power.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Kanan fucking has the same amount of compassion, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would totally agree with
totally.
That.
Yeah, totally. And so I'm totally on board with, like, again, as I said, as I was, going to say before I went off on my tangent, if, Luke had stayed, if he had been the Superman that all of, the white man and the white man in the fandom wanted him to see him as, if he had stayed super strong in the Force from end of Return of the Jedi through beginning of The Last Jedi, maybe he is the strongest Jedi, the best Jedi ever. What did we say? Greatest Jedi ever. Maybe he is. But he didn't. And he came back to the Order and summoned all his strength and sacrificed himself for the greater good, which is amazing. Great in a different way. Perhaps the greatest in a different way. But it doesn't make him inherently the greatest as in greatest abilities or strongest Jedi of all time.
Right. I mean, all I was going to say was that anytime we want to talk about Kanan, I'm super down for that because I'm me. But also, I just want to point out that the interesting quirk that Kanan has is that I think he might be the only Jedi in canon that we know of who has a physical disability that actually, hampers him in any appreciable way. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off and stuff, but he gets a prosthetic and he's pretty much good to go. Like, Kanan just can't see and has to compensate for that. What, Chris?
There is a blind Jedi in the newly released Mace Windu comic miniseries.
Just
for what it's worth.
Kidding. But that's Jedi Knight, cool.
Prosit Debs. Debs Prosit? Prosit Debs. I don't know. His name's Prosit. They call him Prosit. I think your point is right on. I was just, well, actualing you.
Thank you, white man. Your opinion is noted. Anyway, if we're done talking about white hero Luke Skywalker, I would like to...
I'll take the well actually-ing, but don't look at me for white hero Luke Skywalker.
I'm gonna look at you anyway.
I'm our noted Luke hater.
I do actually want to super gloss over this point because we're going to do an in-depth episode analyzing both the Battlefront 2 game and its DLC Resurrection. But I just want to point out that I thought it was really cool how well both Battlefront and especially the DLC tied into The Last Jedi. And I'm really excited to talk about it. But that's all I'm going to say for right now. Kristen, have you played the DLC yet?
I don't think I have. What does DLC stand for?
What?
The downloadable content.
Oh, I don't think I've played any of the downloadable content. I just played the single player playthrough.
Oh, if you just go in and update your game file, it should just spit the DLC right on it. And it's like three.
I'm a dumb hoe, so.
Oh, you're fine. It's about, it's about three chapters worth of content. You meet Del and Iden's daughter. Definitely play that before we talk about the game.
Oh, fuck yeah, I want to.
Yeah.
I mean, my can I make one baby point about dumb white hoes?
Okay.
I mean,
I
just meant like before we talked about what we just talked about. Are we just saying Luke is the greatest Jedi because he's all that we have fucking left?
I mean, doesn't make him the greatest Jedi of all time. Yeah, he's the greatest Jedi who is alive.
Right. Well, and that's like, you know, when we say the greatest Jedi. I don't know what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
But that's the other like interesting wrinkle is when we look at Luke's timeline versus Rey's timeline, Rey has made a lot of progress in a lot shorter of time than Luke has, which is also why like I think a lot of bros are butthurt. They're like, that's not realistic, and I'm like, just because like a dude didn't do it doesn't mean it's not realistic. It just means that Luke didn't do it. Sorry, everyone.
Deal with it.
Right. But I mean, I think that's like, you know, that makes us all think a bit about that timeline. But I also don't think that necessarily like rules that out. And I think that makes it a little bit more interesting, a little bit harder to digest.
So just the next point I want to talk about is we haven't discussed any of the books that that are part of The Journey to the Last Jedi, because we wanted to basically go in blind without any of those added details. But after Lost Stars, we are, of course, discussing Phasma, and at some point this year, we would also like to discuss Canto Bite and Leia, Princess of Alderaan. And so I just wanted us to talk about what we're looking forward to finding out from each of those books. And I have answers for all three of these, but what are you guys looking out for?
Kate, I want you to start first, please.
Okay. So as I said on our first episode about The Last Jedi, I was disappointed by how little screen time Phasma got, and if she does not actually wind up surviving being tossed into a giant fireball, and she doesn't come back in episode 9, I'm going to be super fucking pissed. So I'm excited about Phasma just because she needs to get that kind of attention that she deserves for being, first of all, such a hyped character, but also such a fascinating one. Just being a woman and high up in the First Order and having that super cool armor and being really fearsome and ferocious. And I saw, I can't remember who it was, but they were describing Snoke is having a triumvirate, and of course that's Kylo Ren, General Hux, and Captain Phasma. And so I need to know more about Phasma. In terms of Canto Bite, while the inclusion of that setting and that storyline was controversial, quote unquote, blah, 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 whatever. I don't care. I loved Canto Bight a lot, and I thought it was an environment that we just haven't seen in Star Wars. Like, we've seen plenty of dirty backwater worlds. We've seen the grittiness of Coruscant, which is, of course, just this huge city. And we've seen a little bit of the in-between, but we haven't seen something so upper-class and glittering as to even approach Canto Bight, obviously, until now. And I thought it was a great backdrop, it was a great setting, it was a great piece of world-building, and I could go on and on about its role in the movie itself. But, you know, The Last Jedi is a movie with a lot of moving pieces, and of course you couldn't linger on Canto Bight, so I'm really excited to just absorb more of that atmosphere, learn a bit, little bit more about the people who live there, the people who, I don't know, have a good time there but don't necessarily live there, just because that world building piece is very, very interesting to me. And from Leia, Princess of Alderaan, I mean, I'm so excited to read about Leia, not the least because I ugly cried 4 times the first time I saw The Last Jedi, and all of them were Carrie Fisher related. But also because I want to know more about Haldo. And she couldn't have had more screen time in The Last Jedi just because of what her role was. And, you know, the story, except for the parts where she was in it, it wasn't about her specifically. But I'm excited to see her background, especially because from what I've heard, the portrayal we have of Haldo as an older woman is really, really different from who she is as a teenager. The way that people have been describing younger teenage Haldo from the book to me is as a Star Wars Luna Lovegood. So I'm really excited to see who she is then and how that turns into who she is in the movie.
I agree.
No, like literally, like those are the three things that I'm most excited. The one, I'll add on a little more. I have read Canto Bight. Really enjoyed it. Without giving spoilers, I will say I'm most excited to talk about the difference in the difference in scale and in stakes that we get from our usual Star Wars reading.
Also, they're novellas, which is a horribly
underused
and underappreciated form of fiction. So.
Quote, confusing, end quote.
What?
People think novellas are confusing, and I disagree.
They think they're confusing because they can't decide what the definition of a novella and a novel is, and they can...
Thank you.
Eat my ass.
That's what I mean.
Well, I had to explain it because...
Thank you. No, I that was a sincere thank you, not a dismissive way. Thank you, and I am sorry for making it sound like the latter when it was the former.
Yeah.
I feel like we're all getting, like, punchy.
You feel like
no we're... shit, never us.
God damn it!
I of all of those books, I think you guys probably have done like the most background reading on what all of them are, and obviously, Chris has already read Canto Bight. I haven't read goddamn shit as usual, and I can barely read generally. But so like that's. I'm really interested in reading all of these things. I'm what I'm like probably like most dreading and worried about is reading Canto Bight. Like growing up in a casino town, I have like a lot of like super squeaky feelings about all of that. And that's probably not what anyone on this podcast is interested in hearing.
No,
but
that's
also
actually...
like it's an interesting wrinkle. Of like life ruining that totally happened in the town that I grew up in.
No,
so,
that's I think honestly discussing that is going to be fascinating just because for context, guys, Keeks grew up in Atlantic City, basically.
Yeah, I grew up basically right outside of Atlantic City, and I did a lot of my like high school and college summer work in and around Atlantic City. So.
And I'm honestly fascinated.
Makes me feel very squicky.
I'm honestly fascinated though to talk about that with you because Chris and I and we've talked about this just generally in life. We have very different views of casinos and gambling and whether or not that's fun or whatever. So
for sure.
Knowing
well, and that's always interesting to me. It's like anytime I talk to anybody and they're like, gambling is fun, I'm like, I have no idea what you're fucking talking about. Right. Like, I don't understand it. Yeah. And I think that's definitely part of, like, we'll talk about it more when we talk about the book, but I mean, I was 18 when I started working in casinos, aka I wasn't old enough to gamble
right
when I started working in casinos. Yeah. Which I think puts me in a really interesting point of view.
Yeah.
Than most other people, but anyway.
No, I seriously look forward to talking to you.
Oh,
about that.
Yeah, I have a lot of like weird feelings.
I care about what you have to say about that.
No, I it's not about caring or not caring. I think it's really weird, and people who have experienced that will totally be interested, and people who have no idea what the fuck we're talking about will totally not know what the fuck we're talking about. So that's usual, because I think like the gambling rules vary so wildly from state to state that it's such like a cultural thing that not everybody knows what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But anyway, because like Virginia doesn't have gambling in bars at all.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Like Oregon, we have video slots. We have
well,
poker.
Weird.
We have all that in bars. That. So, Yep.
Okay. Fascinating.
Is it the same in California, Chris?
No.
It's definitely not like that.
No, in California, you are only ever allowed to gamble if you're in a native-owned casino.
Yeah,
New York is the same way.
Yeah, in Oregon, you can do it in all bars. It's
fucking wild.
I know it is. I mean, it's not like, you know, there aren't table games, but it's all video, anything.
That's so weird.
It's so fucking weird, especially growing up in New Jersey, where like it wasn't legal anywhere except for in casinos.
Right,
right.
But we just had like a lot of them. Right. So, anyway, we will get back into that weird squicky stuff.
Well, thank you. Honestly, I'm very interested to talk about that with you. And then, kind of going hand in hand, what books are we hoping come out of The Last Jedi? Because as far as we know, at the point of this recording, we are recording this on January 7th, and between the recording date and when we release, Del Rey may or not make announcements about their upcoming publishing schedule for 2018.
They better.
Del Rey, give us everything.
Tom, if you still listen, hit us up.
Oh my god, leave Tom alone.
Oh my god, they're not going to tell us anything about Snoke. That's all we want, and they're not going to tell us fucking anything about Snoke.
I'm going to continue introducing the point and ignore the fact that Keith jumped the gun and say that...
I have big feelings about it.
I know. so far, the only thing that's on Delroy's publishing schedule for this year is, I think, Thrawn Alliances, which is coming out in July, June?
They said summer.
Okay, whatever.
Also, the Last Jedi novelization comes out in March.
Oh, yeah, duh, but we're not going to talk about it on the pod because that's not a thing we do.
At this stage, no.
Right. Anyway, so obviously the calendar is wide open, and it's pretty obvious to us that they haven't announced any books because they were waiting for The Last Jedi to come out and could not say anything because spoilers, and Lucasfilm will literally go to your house and kill you if you just, like, leak things. So anyway, speculation on possible books. Go. Kristen.
I want Padawan Ben. They're absolutely not going to give it to us.
Oh my god. Yeah. I mean, that's
Padawan Ben and Snoke. I want all of that, and they're not going to give us fucking anything.
I know. Like, I want... My headphones just fell off my head, and I have to put them back on because I can't
hear Kristen. That's because she's so upset that we're not going to get any of the shit that I just asked for.
Okay. But no, literally the number one book I want coming out of The Last Jedi is the founding of Luke's temple right up until Ben's fall to the dark side. Like that night that Luke tries to kill him and Ben ruins everything. Because we get hints of dark side influence from, I think we get it from Aftermath. Not that we've read that yet, but we get a little bit in Aftermath.
Dark side influence in what way?
Sorry. Something about Leia being pregnant and then she's feeling like crazy shit's happening.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't get that vibe at all.
All right, maybe I'm on crack. We'll discuss when we talk about it.
Maybe I missed something, but I didn't get that vibe at all.
Kate and Chris get distinct different vibes from different things. Sure. Continue.
Well, when we talk about, I think it's in Empire's End, but maybe. Well, whatever.
It would be in probably Empire's End, yes.
Anyway, in terms of things that really happened, you know, when we were reading Claudia Gray's Bloodline, we know that Ben got sent away to do Jedi training. He's been hanging out with Luke and they've been off the grid, and that Ben knows nothing of his relationship to Vader until it, you know, until it's forced to come out. So, yeah, I want the founding of Luke's temple. I want to see Ben's training. I want to see what dark side tendencies he shows even before he finds out that he's Vader's grandson. I want his I want him and Luke's reaction to the revelation that Vader is related to them, and I want Ben's fall. That is what I want the most.
I want, and this is what Kristen was talking about, I want Snoke. I want Snoke's history. I think we could get it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's likely we'll get it, but I think we could, because he's dead. Like, it doesn't influence anything anymore.
Right. Or at least, like, as an aside somewhere in something, even if it's not the whole thing.
Maybe. I also, more than that, I want the rise of the First Order. You know, we know what happened, because we know that they're the remnants of the Empire that fled after the Battle of Jakku, and then the Centrists joined with them.
And the Amexines.
And the Amexines were with them as well. So we know, we have the pieces to put together, but I want it from the First Order perspective of what they went through in Wild Space and how they rebuilt their alliances and their strength.
What if it's just a Rey Sloane book?
A Rey Sloane trilogy. Another Rey Sloane trilogy, because Aftermath is already kind of that.
I don't even care.
I also, and we won't get this, I doubt.
Ooh, or, sorry. Oh, wait, no, I can't talk about this yet because we haven't finished reading Lost Stars.
The last thing I want that I put on here is, and we won't get this, I doubt, until after episode 9 comes out, but if they just really want to lean into, like, episode 9 is going to be, like, several years in the future, I want the war of the building of the rebellion against the First Order.
Hell yeah. Can you, I'm just trying to think, and I think you probably just, like, have a better, compartmentalized idea of, like, what we know about Snoke and what's happened in the trilogy so far, the new trilogy, versus what we know about Palpatine and the original trilogy. Just, like, freestyle for about a minute, please.
I mean,
both of you.
Well, the point that people have been making is that Palpatine in the original trilogy, we know nothing about him. We know that he's Vader's master. We know that he's the Emperor. We know that he shoots lightning out of his goddamn fingers, and that's literally it.
Somebody, I saw a tweet just today. I don't remember who it was, unfortunately. So apologies if it was you. Tweet at us, and we'll credit you. But
it was me at It's Geeks.
It wasn't. But that they literally counted it up and they're like, complaining about Snoke. Remember how we had literally 7 minutes of screen time for Palpatine across two movies?
Fuck it.
Right. I was talking.
This is my point. And I just wanted to make sure, like, I wasn't tripping balls.
No. So you were,
like, it seems like I'm not missing anything. No. And I know the original trilogy very well. And it seems like they have very similar screen time.
Correct.
I just know a lot more about Palpatine because of other shit.
Right. I mean, I was having a discussion with somebody who was like, he was all like, people are saying that we don't need to know all that much about Snoke because we didn't know a lot about Palps in the original trilogy. And then he goes, but, you know, we have the prequel trilogy now, so now we know all about Palpatine. And I was like, okay, so we'll make another fucking trilogy so we know about Snoke? Like, I don't understand what your point is, my guy.
Yeah, like, cool. That's exactly how it works. Congratulations on proving yourself wrong.
I was so confused. But anyway.
It's like that. Okay. I just wanted to, like, make sure everybody was fucking violently clear on that point.
Yeah, bruh.
Violently clear.
I like that.
It's true. All right, and that seems like a good place to end it. This mini episode turned into very much a full episode. Thank you for listening to this mini episode of the Book Wars Pod. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, an email, at Book Wars Pod, bookwarspod@gmail.com, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so we can get the word out, get more people talking about Star Wars, get more people talking about The Last Jedi, and just having more discussions within the fandom.
And also, like, having discussions where we don't have to, like, run around and call each other stupid just because we disagree. Like, to be fair, I've said, like, expressed a lot of vehement opinions that were fueled by alcohol, but I just want to say that when I am sober and in my right mind, I literally welcome debate. Like, you can disagree with me and I will respect you so long as you're not disagreeing with me because you're a racist, misogynist piece of shit. Like, healthy discussion is great. None of us work at Lucasfilm. None of us know what's going on.
We're just shills.
Oh my God. None of us are standing around at some fucking fence on Twitter telling people whether they're real Star Wars fans or not. Like, we do not support gatekeeping, being a giant asshole, being racist and an asshole, because if you're a racist, you are an asshole, being a misogynist and an asshole, and being rude to people who disagree with you, in which case you're an asshole.
Yep.
Yep. So, just to make that perfectly clear. Anyway.
And on that note, I have nothing else to add that'll top that. So our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joby Terra Design. Thank you so much for listening to this mini episode of the Book Wars Pod. We will be back with more discussion on Lost Stars next week.
One second. I'm going to get some paper towels because I spilled water.
Okay.
All over myself. Cool. That's what I get for drinking water.
Oh no, hydration.